Good morning, everyone, and welcome back out into the bush. It's another cold morning, and thought I would wear my gloves to do this recording. Well, last week, we looked at one of the most touching scenes in the New Testament, or I believe it is. Jesus was teaching, and then the Pharisees brought a woman who was caught in adultery. She was caught and stood her before Jesus and the crowd that was around. They said, "This woman was found in adultery. Moses says she should die. What do you say?" Well, we know Jesus challenged the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. They dropped their stones, walked away, and Jesus says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Folks, we have just seen the heart of Jesus. But right after this, he turns to the crowd and begins to speak in John chapter 8, verse number 12. Jesus spoke to them again, "I am the light of the world." I guess he is. He's just shown the light of his love over the darkness of the Pharisees' heart. He said, "I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." This man who can and has and will continue to forgive sin, this God-man who will lift up the broken and those who have messed up their lives, and he will restore them, he says, "I am the light of the world." And when we look at Jesus, all we can do is fall at his feet and worship him. But the Pharisees still didn't get it. But they will. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the morning. Thank you that we can again look at your word and the story of Jesus. Help us to learn from that and apply what we can in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's dive into this debate that followed between Jesus and the Pharisees. Verse number 13. So the Pharisees said to him, "You are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not valid." They were quoting the Jewish law that said it takes two witnesses to validate a witness. But you see, Jesus claims the words of the Father, and we know that he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And he also claims his works, and with the testimony of the Father and the works that Jesus did, this validates his claim for who he is in saying, "I am the light of the world." But the Pharisees challenged him again. Look at verse number 19. Then they ask him, "Where is your father?" Jesus says, "You neither know me nor my father. If you knew me, you would also know my father." Now I want you to think about that. A lot of these guys have been spending their lives studying and reading the Jewish text. So if anybody would know the Father, these guys should know the Father. But they don't. So much for a head knowledge and not a heart knowledge. Well, now Jesus begins to sharpen his charge towards the Pharisees, verse 21. Then he said to them again, "I'm going away. You will look for me and you will die in your sin. And where I'm going, you cannot come." Folks, looks like the door is open for the Pharisees right now. But it sounds to me like it could soon be closing. Then Jesus repeats his challenge again, verses 23 and 24. "You are from below," he told them. "I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I told you that you will die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. He gave them one more opportunity. If you don't believe in me, you will die in your sins. Can you feel that challenge to us today? We must believe in who Jesus is and what he did for us. But this whole debate brings up an interesting question from the Pharisees. Verse 25, who are you? They question. And Jesus responds exactly what I've been telling you from the beginning. He said, I've been giving you evidence enough to know who I am, but you reject it. There is something about what Jesus says that we can miss if we don't dive deeply and look. Matter of fact, we're going to go back to the originals and see just what he did. Look at verse 24. Therefore, I told you that you will die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. The English translators added the word he. And that was not in what Jesus says. Back in the Greeks, in the Greek New Testament, he says, if you don't believe that I am, you will die in your sins. So what is this I am? Most of you know what it is. It's a claim to being divine. It's the same thing that God told Moses at the burning bush. I am that I am. And Jesus says, if you don't believe that I am, you will die in your sins. So it's clear who Jesus is claiming to be. No doubt. So do you believe in him? Do you believe that Jesus is God in the flesh, as the Bible teaches? If so, I think we should fall at his feet and worship. I think we should take him seriously. Don't you? But the Pharisees were so blinded by their hatred for Jesus that they just didn't get the truth. But Jesus says something that soon they will see and know. Verse 28, so Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but just as the Father taught me, I say these things. Do you remember when Jesus died, the crusty old Roman soldier said something? You remember what it was? He said, surely this must have been the Son of God. The Romans knew, the Pharisees knew. Do you? Do you believe in him? That's what this is all about. It comes down to a personal one-on-one between you and God. Do you believe that Jesus is who he said he was? But there were in this crowd a few who followed Jesus or believed Jesus. Jesus had some words of instruction for them, verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, you really are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We quote that about the truth setting you free, but it's all based upon staying in his word. Listen to what he said. If you continue in my word, if you stay in my word, if you study, if you immerse yourself in my word, you are my disciples. And you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Look, if these believers would follow Jesus and focus on his word, then they'd be true disciples, and they would know the truth. But many didn't follow through. Will you? You see, there's real freedom for all those who will focus on Jesus' words, his works. There's freedom for those who will stay pursuing Jesus. And that freedom, that knowledge of Jesus, will set us free. Jesus says that the truth shall make you free. But the Jews couldn't accept that they were under bondage to anyone. So Jesus had to clarify what he said. Verse 34, Jesus responded, "Truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin." And you and I both know the controlling nature of sin. We know that sin will control you and sin will destroy you. You see, if you play with fire, you're going to get burnt. And that's the point that Jesus is trying to get across to the Pharisees. But only we get freedom. Listen, they would receive freedom if they would focus on Jesus. Verse 36, "So if the Son sets you free, you really will be free." Well, praise the Lord for that. But the Pharisees just wouldn't believe. And Jesus gets to the heart of what the problem is. Verses 43 through 44. "Why don't you understand what I say? It's because you cannot listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of all liars." They couldn't believe because they were under the influence of the devil. That is the heart. And folks, if today God would break through the control of the devil in the lives of people where they can see the face of Jesus and the gospel of grace and salvation, to see that he in fact loves them and died for them, then lives would be changed. But God's going to have to break the control of the devil. But something that we need to keep in mind, the devil wants to distract us from our focus on the life and works of Jesus, because that's where freedom is found. I think Jesus must have hit pretty close to home with this comment about being under the control of the devil, because the Jews fire back, "You are a Samaritan and you have a demon." That's about as bad as you could get. But Jesus rejects their claims and says in verse number 51, "Truly I tell you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." And this whole debate, this whole back and forth, sets up one of the most profound comments that Jesus ever made. So stay with me. The Jews respond back to Jesus in verses 52 and 53. Then the Jews said, "Now we know you have a demon. Abraham died and so did the prophets. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham who died and the prophets who died? Who do you claim to be?" Listen closely to what Jesus says, verses 56 through 58. "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." Did Jesus live at the time of Abraham? And the Jews said that. The Jews replied, "You aren't 50 years old and you've seen Abraham." Listen closely. Verse 58, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, before Abraham was, I am." This is clear what he's claiming to be. He is claiming to be the Almighty. He is claiming to be in the beginning. He is claiming to be God in flesh. The Jews got it. Did you? What are we going to do with just Jesus? Well, the Jews got it, and look at their response. Verse 59, "So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus was hidden and went out of the temple." So the Jews thought this was blasphemy for Jesus to connect himself so closely to the Father. So they were going to stone him. For us, what will we do with that magnificent truth? We can laugh at this ridiculous comment that Jesus says, or we can surrender ourselves to him as our Lord and Savior. Well, I think we need to do something. We need to get our eyes on Jesus. We need to focus on Him. Throughout this whole thing, that has become clear. Our focus on Jesus and doing what He said will set us free. Will we do that? Folks, let's turn our eyes upon Jesus. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for this challenge. Thank you for this look into the life of Jesus and His magnificent claim, before Abraham was, I am. Use this for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.